Well, how many of y'all had a crazy Christmas? Okay, Val's going to come up for just 2 seconds, give you a taste of what happens in our house. And, okay, now see, you'll see the difference between what I get and she gets. Okay, He's going to make you speak. Lovely. Oh, dear. Oh, that's not the end of it.
That's enough.
Okay. If you hadn't gotten a study guide, just want to encourage you. The notes that we'll be following are in the study guide, so you can follow it a little later. Now, I got a basket here. There's one that has X on it. And today we're going to be looking at Matthew. I'm saying you still catch occasionally. Matthew chapter 2, and it speaks about Christ after the birth. And, you know, in the verses that we'll be looking at, it'll say, and the prophet said this, and it had to be fulfilled. And we'll see how all these things are fulfilled in one person, Jesus Christ. Now, just to make an illustration, I got the axe on one of those. Bruce, come here. You can't see the X, right?
Nope.
Okay, draw, pick one, and let's see if it's the X. Open it up. Ah. So 1 in 10, your chances are still not that great. There was a man named, some scholars believe that there's over, wait a second, I have to put on reading glasses. It shows my age. Some scholars believe there are more than 300 prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament. These prophecies are specific enough that the mathematical probability of Jesus fulfilling even a handful of them, let alone all of them, is staggering and probable, if not impossible. And just 1 in 10, we see that it's not an easy game. Peter Stone, chairman of the Department of Mathematics and Astronomy at Pasadena College, he was given the challenge to take the prophecies and to take them and look at them and what would be the probability of these prophecies in him, in Jesus. And the thing that he found out with, and you all have heard this illustration before, but I think it's worth repeating, that if you take the 55 prophecies that are for sure prophecies concerning Jesus, that those prophecies in one person, the odds of that happening would be if you were taking one silver dollar, take the state of Texas, spend 2 feet of silver dollars in the state, across the whole state, make a mark on one, drop them in there. I'd love to see the machine that's to shuffle them. And then go in, blindfold one person, and pick up the one that has X on it. That's the probability of that occurring in Jesus Christ. In fact, it's 10 to the 17th power. So, I mean, that's quite a few. And the conclusion of his survey showed that if the 10 tickets was not easy, just imagine if you had all of the prophecies fulfilled in one person. The odds would be staggering, and it would be impossible. Now, I got to start off with a little story about our family. Fortunately, they're all grown up. I don't have to pay them any money anymore. One time we were visiting Joe's church, in the rec center, and he said he gave, if he mentioned his kids, each of them got $5. Now, I found out later, he really didn't do that quite as much as he said he did. But my kids heard the sermon and thought, okay, Dad, phony up. And so they're not here, so I can use their illustration. At our house, we have a tradition, and that is put a nativity scene near a Christmas tree, and you have the shepherds, you have Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus, and the wise men were on the other side of the room because they never visited Jesus in the manger, in the stable. And so, you know, sometimes just trying to quickly put things out, we stick them there, and then also the next day we know the kids have already moved, Mary and Joseph and the wise men, far away from each other, because it's probably about a 2-year journey. Let me start with Matthew chapter 2, and pray for me. This month, my Parkinson has been acting up. In fact, it's acted up more than normally in the past. And, oh, thank you. I'm going to actually take advantage of this tool myself. But if you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2, starting verse 1, it says this. Now, after Jesus was born in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men who came from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born, the king of Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and had come to worship him. When Herod the king heard of this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests, scribes of the people, inquired of them where Christ was to be born. Now imagine this. Here you got King Herod in Jerusalem. He had these men come a good distance, and they want to know about the new king. And he's like, what new king? In fact, he's completely taken off guard. And he says, guys, come on now. Help me find out about this king. And see, these men, these wise men, it could have been 2. The tradition says 3. We don't know how many men it was. But also, they had an entourage that would carry their supplies, the needs, the gifts, all that with them. And they tell Herod, in the town of Bethlehem of Judea, so it was written by prophets, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Now you got to understand, in the Old Testament, there have been 400 years of silence to the birth of Christ. In fact, the silence, there was no prophecies, there was no new revelation, and they had to just sort of wait on the promises. And I think it's almost like today, you know, we know that Jesus is coming back, but yet we live as if, oh yeah, it'll happen sometime, but we don't live in anticipation that he's coming back. And King Herod, the scribes, the elders, the chief priests, you know, they would take these things and thought, probably, well, it hadn't happened on our watch, so we're not going to really worry about this. And the thing that startled me was, when you look at Scripture, King Herod and the people were what? Troubled. Because, see, there's a new king, and this king, sorry about the shaking, just have to ignore it. This king threatened them very much. Because, see, his status quo would have been changed. In fact, if he found out there's a new king in town, what happens to him? And, you know, the prophecy says he was born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. But you, O Bethlehem, you are too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you shall come forth for me one who will be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is of old from ancient days. And so we find out from verses 5 and 6 of Matthew 2 that Jesus fulfilled that. Also, Genesis 49:10 says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until tribute comes to him. And to him shall be the obedience of the people. And Luke 3:33 says that Jesus is from the lineage of Jesse, David, and the son of Judah. Also says in Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Fulfillment is goes back just a few verses back in Matthew 1:22-23 says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, which they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And, you know, here we got these verses. We're seeing prophesied, fulfilled in Jesus. And we're just not talking about one or two. Look at the next section of Matthew. Matthew 2:7-12. When Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for a child. When you have found him, bring word to me so that I can worship him too. Now, see, God understands something about Jerusalem and Bethlehem. Now, today, it's like, you know, Fort Worth and Arlington, the land is just all filled up. And that's what it is like in Jerusalem and Bethlehem today. But back in those days, okay, so you had an hour ride in a chariot, probably not even that long from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And because of that, Herod should have said, you know, he really was eager, he really wanted to see the king, he could have said, can I come with you as we go meet the new king? But he doesn't do that. He sends them on, the wise men. Look at verse 9. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw a child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gold, frankincense, myrrh, and warned in a dream not to return to Herod. So they departed to their own country by another way. So here we go. One, they found the house, a star. You know, some people try to say it was probably the planets aligned and it became the star. But you know, when God was leading the Israelites out of Egypt, out of bondage, into freedom, he had a cloud by day and he had a pillar of fire by night. And if the pillar of fire moved, so did Israel. And so I have no problem saying there was probably a supernatural star that gave the location to where Jesus was. Because God is able to do the impossible. We don't have to make, you know, plans. Well, for God's purpose, it was when the Mercury and this planet all lined up, it came like a bright star. How about God was able to bring it out? Now, look at the next, Matthew 2:13-15. And when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophets, "Out of Egypt I called my son." And interesting, in chapter 2, he's saying these were things that the prophets said would happen, and that it was important that the word of God be what? Fulfilled. Now look at Hosea 11:1. "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." And so we see the fulfillment, and then we saw the verse that talked about the prophecy of Jesus going to Egypt and being called out. Now, the next one, a prophecy, is a sad one, because it's found in Jeremiah 31:15. "This is the Lord, a voice heard in Ramah, lamentations and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more." And the fulfillment we just read is that Herod made a decree to kill all the children, 2 and under. That's a lot of children in that region. Now, fortunately, the Lord, God gave him a dream, and they went to Egypt. And isn't it neat how God provides? Because the gold, frankincense, and myrrh were just the precious gifts for them to escape and for them to be able to survive in Egypt. Matthew 2:19-23. "But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead.' And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel." Sorry about that. "But when he heard Archelaus was reigning over Judea in a place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene." Now, I searched the Old Testament. And, you know, with computers now, it makes it really easy to do something like that. And I couldn't find where that prophecy came from. But there are prophecies that were made by different prophets that may not have written a book. But this was a prophecy that was well known, obviously, that Matthew recorded. And you got to realize, Matthew is trying to communicate to the Jews. He wants them to understand that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah that the nation had been looking for. So to him, going back to the Old Testament was critical, because he was able to say, the Old Testament says this. Here's a prophecy. Old Testament says this. Here's a prophecy. And remember, the odds of this being fulfilled in one person is a miracle, because one out of the 10th, 17th power is practically impossible for that to take place. And that was even a conservative number. It wasn't overinflating it. And so, look what I thought of this. The fulfillment of this was found in Nathaniel. He said, John 1:45-46, "Philip found Nathaniel and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said, "Come and see." So for sure, you know, people are like, wow, Messiah is a Nazarene. Come and see. Now, the next part is from Genesis 3:15. "I open enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And that was made when God was judging Adam and Eve for listening to the serpent, for taking the words of the serpent over his. And part of though God puts in the beginning promise from this verse that there would be a battle between Satan and Jesus, and Jesus wins. Look at fulfillment, 1 John 3:8. "Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of Man appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." And that's a promise we have. That's a promise we cling to. Look at Isaiah. And this is amazing. There are places in Scripture, if we looked at right now, I'm just really focused on the birth of Christ. But if I focus on 55 of the main prophecies concerning Jesus, we go into his birth, his ministry, and the resurrection. And just his birth being fulfilled gives us a hope of what that he's coming back. Look at this. Isaiah 53, starting verse 1. "Who has believed that he has heard from us, and to whom the arm of the Lord has been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form of majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, as one from whom men hide their faces. He was not despised. He was despised, and we esteem him not. Surely he has borne our grief, our griefs, and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him the chastisement that brought us peace. With his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. We turn everyone to his own ways. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." And I think one of the best verses that really captures what takes place next, the fulfillment of John 1:29. "The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him." This is John the Baptist. And John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And I don't know about you, but the whole Old Testament, see, when they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, they had a promise that God would redeem them, would redeem man back to him. And so all through the Old Testament, it does one thing. It points to Jesus Christ. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we may say, it seems like nothing's going to change. It seems like, where are the promises that he's given us? Like 1 Thessalonians 4:5, he talks about his coming back. Acts 1:11, let me read this to you. "And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? Then Jesus said, This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come back the same way you saw him go into heaven." So we have the hope that Jesus Christ is going to come back. The thing is, are we living that way? I mean, if he kept his promise on his birth, which was impossible, he's coming back for us again. And we need to have the attitude, the challenge, the way we live our lives with that in mind. I thought about Herod. Or how many of us, or do we know people like Herod? His heart was like a stone. In fact, he didn't want to find the baby Jesus to worship him. He wanted to find the baby Jesus to destroy him so that his kingdom was not threatened. And so, in the Old Testament, Pharaoh had a heart of stone. Eventually, he found out that he was not God. Herod has found out now his kingdom is not the kingdom that lasts for eternity. The kingdom of Jesus Christ will last for eternity. So if these passages are clearly showing that Jesus Christ is the King, then we need to live with that hope. And, if you have friends who are Jewish, just point them to Matthew and say, look at the promises that were met in Jesus Christ. Because Matthew has many places it will say, as a prophet said. And when you see those things, then you know that it's more than just a good story. It's more than a myth, but it is the living Son of God that we have, that we celebrate. So I pray that your Christmas included Christ. I pray that each day as you live, going into a new year, that we live as people with a great hope. We live as people with the desire to say, God, I don't know what today's going to bring me, but I want to live it for you. I want to live it in a way that I have no regrets. I hate to say this, but there's many days I've looked at in my life, and I could say, I have regrets, because maybe I missed an opportunity, or maybe I just said, I'm just too tired. And so I want to just challenge you that Christ is going to come back, just as he said in Acts chapter 1. The angel said he's coming back in the sky. Just as you saw him leave, he's coming back. And we have that hope because God is a what? Promise keeper. He keeps his promises. Every one of them. Join me as we pray. Father God, I hope that your word is the part that goes out, and your word gives us hope, gives us reason to go through day by day, and your word gives us the ability to say, I serve the living God. Not a dead God, not a God who set the planet in motion and walked away, but we have a God who loves us, that desires us to have the hope that has been given to us by Jesus, that one day you're coming back. I can't wait. We pray this in your precious name.